It's time for JT the Brick.
Reset the show. This is the home of the Raider Nation, where Raider fans have a voice on this. I love putting fans on the radio. I love hearing emotion. I love hearing passion. I love hearing people, if they're critical or they're happy, whatever there is, I like to hear people to know I'm on the radio, not guests if they're listening and wondering if they're out there. And hopefully I bring that to the radio show. Fandom, fandemonium, getting people excited about sports.
JT the Brick.
I care about going to games and winning games. That is it. I like to pause, have a sip of water, and talk to a Raider fan, either in a chat or over the phones, who has something smarter to say than I do, which many do. More knowledgeable fans than me, I admit that. More passionate fans than me? Yeah, there's a number of them. But I'm the gateway to getting everybody in here to let it rip. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. Got it? That's the show.
And now,
Fandemonium.
Here's JT the Brick.
Hour number two of the show as we begin on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Man, my heart is full. We just talked to Pete Rose. Pete Rose called in on the life of Willie Mays. If you missed that, we'll air some of that tomorrow. Really happy for that. Tom Looney, my podcast partner, he jumped in as we opened up the show on J.J. Redick, officially the head coach of the Lakers. They've come to terms on that. The other big news, Trevor Lawrence signs a five-year, $275 million extension, 60 turnovers in his first three seasons, 60, and he gets $275 million. He's rewarded. I mean, look, taking a team to the playoffs and being good, this is a good team. Jacksonville's a good team. Last year, they started off 8-3. They ended up 0-5 down the stretch. They collapsed. How would you like to collapse last year and then go back to work and get a raise? He did. That's the market for a quarterback. 5 years, 275, Bobby. Put that up on the bulletin board. 5 years, 275 is the market. That's it. You know, the market for running back, Christian McCaffrey took it to $19 million. Not every running back is going to get $19 million. Just because Christian McCaffrey got $19 million, Josh Jacobs can't get over 12 or 13. Wide receiver market was just reset. Justin Jefferson. If you look at all these contracts, I mean, they're big. They're big contracts for the best player. Trevor Lawrence is not the best quarterback in the league. He is not. But he's getting paid. He clearly is getting paid like he's one of the best. He's 20-30 as a starter, 59 TDs and 39 interceptions in the last 3 years. You know who that is? Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew, if his name was Trevor Lawrence, would get 5 years, $245 million. Gardner Minshew has the same numbers. Same. I'm not making this up. Gardner Minshew has Trevor Lawrence's numbers, and he's our backup for $15 million. So $275, we got a guy for $15 total who has the same numbers as Trevor Lawrence. Crazy, man. Notable quarterbacks entering the final year of their contract. So Dak, Jordan Love, and Tua. Okay, so Dak had 36 touchdowns, Jordan Love 32, Tua had 29. Dak was ranked first. Now, I talked about it with Vinny Bonsignore yesterday. I think we were off the air when Vinny and I were talking about Dak Prescott to the Raiders potentially. Yeah, we were off the air talking about that. That would be the best quarterback to come to the Raiders in 30 years, or roughly around that. So if Dak Prescott does not get his contract, I think a lot of Raider fans, you know, I'm pulling for Aiden O'Connell, right? I want Aiden O'Connell to do well. But when you watch the negotiations, if you're a Raider fan on Dak Prescott, keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it. If you're a real diehard Raider fan, you should want Dak Prescott to not sign an extension with the Cowboys. Because if that isn't the case, he's great. Now, look, he doesn't win all the playoff games. We get it. He's made mistakes. He got outplayed by Jordan Love. But you know what you're going to get with Dak. And if Dak is an option for the Raiders next year going into the draft with the quarterbacks and knowing that Dak's available out there, that'll be interesting. I'm also watching a video just put out by the Chargers 2 hours ago of their new facility in Los Angeles. It's pretty bleeping amazing. Now, fortunately, the Raiders have one that seems to be better. I don't think, but this Charger one is pretty crazy. It's called The Bolt, and it's coming, and they're opening it up, and Jim Harbaugh walked it today, the new Chargers training facility. It's pretty special. Raiders have maybe the best, along with the star in Dallas. And these players are playing football at the right time, man. I'm lucky to talk to Fred Biletnikoff a lot. And can you imagine Freddie B going and getting lunch back in the day? Fred Biletnikoff getting lunch at camp, sitting on his helmet, eating his lunch at like a sandwich and something. And now these guys are getting salmon and shrimp and fish and dietitians and massages and all this. It's amazing what's happened with the NFL, man. It really is. The NFL money is absolutely no object. It's incredible to see. ESPN, Marcus Mosier, ESPN believes the Raiders still need to add a pass rusher before the start of the season. I'm not making this up. No, Bobby, I'm not making it up. The Raiders have done a really good job reading from the column here. Christian Wilkins was the biggest deal, but even the selection of Tommy Eichenberg at linebacker gives them another hard-nosed player in the middle of the defense. This article goes on to say, in a recent article by Aaron Schatz of ESPN, he discussed one more move that every team needs to make before the start of the season. I mentioned this earlier in the show. For the Raiders, that was bringing in one more pass rusher, Schatz says, Yannick Ngakoue, former Raider who's still a free agent. The Raiders have a superstar edge rusher in Max Crosby, but a real depth problem behind him. Right now, the plan is to move Tyree Wilson inside, leaving Malcolm Kuntz starting on the edge. Kuntz had a surprisingly strong season in 2023 with 8 sacks and 31 pressures against defenses that were double-teaming Crosby. Okay, pressures against playing defense on a team that was double-teaming Max. Behind him, though, he goes on to write that all are veteran journeymen and young free agents. If the Raiders bring in Ngakoue, they have a steady veteran edge rusher who can rotate with Kuntz to give the team something if Crosby or Kuntz misses time with an injury. All right, let me stop for a second. I'm losing my mind, man. Why do we have to take Malcolm Kuntz off the field? Now, the writer ended up saying if Kuntz or Crosby gets injured, well, isn't that Tyree Wilson's job? Didn't we take Tyree Wilson number 7 in the first round? So if Max gets dinged or Kuntz gets hurt, isn't Tyree Wilson a top 7 pick supposed to slide over and play the other edge rusher? What's this guy's talking about? I like Yannick Ngakoue. He was great to me, man. When he came on the show, he had a lot of energy. And it says Ngakoue isn't much of a run defender and is really just a pass rush specialist. But the Raiders have a need at that spot. Why do the Raiders have a need with Max Crosby, Malcolm Kuntz, Tyree Wilson, Christian Wilkins? Am I missing something here? This is the type of media coverage that the Raiders get. Why wouldn't this gentleman, Aaron Schatz of ESPN, write a thorough column about the Raiders getting a cornerback? Raiders need a cornerback. They don't have much depth. They just drafted 2 rookies for depth. But this gentleman ended up saying that Yannick Ngakoue would be the player to go out there. He ends the article by saying it makes sense for Las Vegas. Look for the Raiders to continue to explore the veteran pass rush market before training camp starts in July. And maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. And maybe that should be the story going forward. Because the other article that I read this week that drove me nuts is the talk of potentially the Raiders having the worst running back room in the NFL. And that was some anti-Raider propaganda earlier in the week. After paying over $10 million to a single running back in 2023, the Raiders have shifted their philosophy at the position. Now they're paying a few million for the entire running back room. In a recent article by Travis Sikkema, who's good, from Pro Football Focus, he ranked all 32 running back rooms, and the Raiders came in second to last at 31. Here's what Sikkema had to say about the Raiders' running back room going into this year. I felt like the Raiders were left high and dry after watching Josh Jacobs sign elsewhere. The backfield state is now some combination of Zamir White, Alexander Mattison, and rookie Dylan Lobby. White earned a 70.6 PFF rushing grade last season. Mattison recorded 68.5. So here's someone else who doesn't believe that Zamir White, as we call him Zeus, could be dominant. Doesn't believe it. Now, I'm hoping he becomes a beast. He went to Georgia, played with Brock Bowers and one of the best defensive units in the history of college football. I believe that Zamir White can have a breakout year, but Travis Sickema does not agree. So this is what we're getting and what we're seeing. All the articles that I'm kind of pointing out to you that are anti-Raiders, 31st out of 32 running back rooms. Raiders need a pass rusher, Yannick Ngakoue. I got my head on the swivel for all this garbage, and I'm looking at it all, and I'd love to see your opinion on that. That's something that my job every day, and I told my son that today because we came up with the betting line, Raiders are plus 1,000 to win the AFC West. If the Chargers are plus 350, that bothered me. And that's content that is important that you can hear on this show because it's not flowers and pancakes with whipped cream and sunny rainbows around this joint. I can tell you that much. I live in Vegas. I've been anchoring Raiders radio longer than anyone who's ever lived. And the lack of respect for this organization on radio, podcast, and television is near an all-time low. Near an all-time low for the quality of talent that is on this team. It's near an all-time low. Okay, there's been some rough years in Oakland. Rough years in Oakland. I was there for them. I don't think it's rough around here now. I actually think it's pretty good. But you can't sense it when you log on to the internet. Hardcore Raider is up next. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, JT, how you doing?
Good, man. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear from you. All right, I want to talk a little basketball. I'm not even going to comment on those other guys. Most of those guys, I don't even know how they have a job. I'll just leave it at that. He obviously doesn't even know who he drafted last year. The guy that wrote the article. But I want to ask you a question, man. What would you say if I told you of the three major sports, so football, basketball, and baseball, what would you say if I told you what the Celtics just did made them the greatest franchise in sports history, even above your Yankees? Would you think that's crazy?
The Celtics over my Yankees all time? I think you're nuts. I'd call a straitjacket. I'd call a driver to come pick you up and take you to an insane asylum. If you think the Celtics are better than my Yankees with DiMaggio, Gehrig, Ruth, Jeter, Mariano Rivera, no, I think you're crazy.
Well, here's the thing, because like I'm a numbers guy, and the numbers like never lie. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. If you take like Major League Baseball and their champion, like the years they've done championships, and then the championships the Yankees have, and you do the same thing for football and the same thing for basketball, here's how the numbers play out. I'll start with NFL. NFL, 57 years of championships, Super Bowls at least. Patriots and Steelers both have six Super Bowls, but that's only 11% of the total years of championships. And then Major League Baseball, 121 years. The Yankees have 27 championships. Mm-hmm. That puts them at 22% of all the years of championships. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the NBA before Celtics just won. Both the Celtics and the Lakers with 17 championships were at 22% with 77 years of NBA championships.
Okay.
Meaning the Celtics just surpassed the Lakers and the Yankees, and it puts them at about 23% that they've won of all the NBA championships. So by the numbers, it says the Celtics right now are the greatest franchise in sports history.
Okay, that's a good way of using analysis. And, you know, baseball, my only pushback would be baseball's been around longer, right? Baseball has a recorded history longer than the NBA. And you're taking into the number and the accounts of the numbers overall, but you're penalizing the Yankees in their 27 by the percentage of the years they played longer than the Celtics. I'm okay with that. I think it's a fun debate. Who's the more impressive franchise in the history of sports? Is it the Celtics or the Yankees? Yeah, I think that would be good. Who would you put in the NFL? Remember, the Patriots were the Clippers your entire life. Your entire life, the Patriots were pretty bad. Now the Patriots have six Super Bowls. Everyone thinks they're the greatest franchise of all time. Hard to argue that. You know, at the Pittsburgh Steelers with six, hard to argue the Steelers aren't the greatest NFL franchise of all time. And Kansas City's coming on strong. That gives me another opportunity again to tell you how important it is to stop Kansas City this year. They're going for a three-peat. If they win this year, they're the greatest team of all time. Better than the 72 Dolphins. They don't have to go undefeated. 72 Dolphins were undefeated. They are the greatest single-season team of all time. If the Chiefs go three in a row, they're the greatest team of all time and the only team ever to three-peat. We have to stop them. Last year, we went through all this Taylor Swift stuff. It was real. It wasn't fake. It was real. She changed the game. The amount of people who put money into the Kansas City Chiefs organization, put money into Travis Kelce's pocket extra with the sale of his jersey, helped the ratings and revenue of the Kansas City Chiefs. One woman, who's the defining artist right now in the world, was involved in football last year. I cannot take that again. My wife's a Swiftie. She watches every show. Every show. She's in the pool. She's got it on. Taylor Swift's in Prague. She's in Paris. She's singing the song. She's in the chat. My wife's a Swiftie. No problem with this young woman. She's very talented. But she's too involved with the Chiefs, who's my nemesis. Now, I'm trying to fight off, like Game of Thrones, at the Wall of the Dragons. We're trying to fight off the Kansas City Chiefs, who are in our nightclubs and are playing on all our golf courses. I got buddies who are caddies all over town. Oh, yeah, we had Mahomes here last week. Oh, yeah, then Mahomes went to Zook at Resorts World. Oh, yeah, yeah, then I saw Mahomes play. He was at the Wynn. What's going on? These guys live here now. Act like they own the joint. We got to beat them down this year. That's what Antonio Pierce wants to do, the Mahomes rules. You better believe it. He's not walking that back. I'm not walking it back. We got to take them out this year. We got to slow them down, and then hopefully other teams beat them too. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Opens up a phone line for you, 702-365-9200. My word count, Bobby, is very high today. I'm talking a lot today. I got to do 3 hours after this. Little dip in the pool, rinse off, and get ready to do the show from 4 to 7 on Mad Dog Sports Radio. You can find me every Monday at Wynn. They built a beautiful studio for SiriusXM. SiriusXM took over the old Blue Wire studio there. It's right there off the lobby. You can't miss it. So if you're going through Wynn, it's right across from the great restaurant La Cave and next to the best buffet in all of Vegas, the Wynn Buffet. Well, you're not allowed to serve yourself anymore. You can't put your dirty hands on a tongue and put it in the food. You're done. All the people that ruin that for everybody don't know how to go through a buffet. When you go through a buffet, the tongues are supposed to be on the outside of the food, not in the food. Because that means your dirty, sweaty hands are in the food. So that's why they stopped half of these things after COVID, because people didn't know how to stand in line and eat like human beings. They would go through a buffet line, and they take the tongs and they grab a piece of chicken and throw it right next to the next piece of chicken. And when they serve you, you'd like some more? No problem. We with gloves will serve you your food, and you'll eat like a human being, and you'll slow down. And you won't get too much food. And if you want a little more, you can come back. Now, is it a bit pricey? Yeah, it's a little bit pricey. I also heard the Palms Buffet, Bobby, is back. And supposedly Seafood Buffet is fabulous. Fabulous there overall. And we had a nice dinner last night at One Steak at Virgin, the great J.O.D. behind the bar. He was pouring them stiff. Pouring them stiff last night. But we had a good time. A couple of my buddies are in town getting a steak. The new thing now is, man, here's another thing. You split your steaks. You can order a steak if you want, but now the cool people are splitting steaks and getting them sliced so you don't gorge yourself, and then you're able to go to the tables or go to a concert or go to a show, and you don't feel like you're going to pass out because you ate, you know, 22 ounces of steak and you split a side or two. So a beautiful night last night over at One. All right, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. The competition begins. No one thinks it's going to be much of a competition. It won't. It'll be Russell Wilson as the starter. Justin Fields, if Russell Wilson can't get going. Same thing here. It looks like it's going to be Aiden O'Connell as the starter and Gardner Minshew trying to track him down. Our entertainment reporter, Johnny Katz, is going to join us in a few moments on what's happening in Vegas. And there's a lot. I think this is a really important segment we do every 2 to 3 weeks on telling everybody out of the market, if you're coming to Vegas, what you can do. And he is the eyes and ears of Las Vegas. And then Albert Hall, the architect of NBA Summer League, as we're going to tell you what's going on with the schedule coming up.
For sure, contributing to winning basketball. But, I mean, at this point, I'm not even necessarily, like, it's not even about, you know, people saying chasing a championship, like it's not that, but it's playing the right style of basketball is what I'm chasing.
Paul George, who's a free agent again, what are we going to do? Give him more money? Yeah, let's give Paul George, who came up short with the Clippers, let's give him more money so he can go play somewhere else. That's the NBA. JT, back with you. Entertainment with Johnny Katz coming up in a little bit. Murph in Buffalo's been waiting. We want to get him up. What's going on, Murph?
Hey, JT. Thanks for having me. I just turned your Yankees on.
Yes, so, thank you. I'll be watching that later today. Thank you.
I won't tell you nothing then. I just wanted to thank you and say how great your memorial shows were on Jim Otto and Willie Mays. I learned a lot. I'm 41 years old. I learned a lot, and you know, I went on Wiki and checked them all out, looked at highlights, just to put their greatness out there, and you know, teach guys like me about the old guys. You know, I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that. I think when these old gentlemen or ladies pass away, they deserve to be recognized after they pass away, and we've been busy with that with Bill Walton, Jerry West, Jim Otto, and now Willie Mays. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I also wanted to comment, used to the Raiders not getting the press, especially not positive, but we're going to show them this year, buddy.
I hope so.
And last thing, you mentioned about how the players, you know, how they're kind of pampered, if you will. Not, you know, I mean, they need it, right? You got to take care of these guys and make sure they're healthy, get on the field every day. But you made a comment also about LeBron the other day and how, you know, his longevity. Oh, I would have loved to see Jordan with that kind of pampering they have now for, you know, the NBA players even. And I definitely think Jordan is better than LeBron. Mm. And I'll tell you why real quick, why I put Kobe ahead of him too. The guy had the killer instinct. So did Kobe. Kobe was the Mamba, you know. Mm. So that's my thing. I think if LeBron had just an ounce of their just ferociousness, those guys, he would have one more championship, might have went undefeated. Who knows?
Okay. Well, look, I appreciate it. I think LeBron's got an animal instinct like Kobe had and Jordan had. LeBron wants to win as much as anybody who's ever stepped on God's green earth. So I think they all want to play. They're all wired a different way, that's for sure. Orioles 3, Yankees nothing. You got to be kidding me. Right out of the gate there. Right out of the gate, I look up and I see that. Orioles and Yankees are going to come down to the wire. That's for sure. Johnny Katz will join us. He's the daily columnist for the Review Journal. He's got the Podcats, K-A-T-S. He was the 2013 NBA Journalist of the Year and four-time Best of the West. Love having him on. Also a 2019 UNLV Hall of Famer. So when you look at the guests that we have on, we have a few Hall of Famers on here over the last couple. And we had Pete Rose on a couple hours ago, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. Can you believe that? So that's what we do here. We look for the entertainment vibe of Vegas, and Johnny Katz joins us after a beautiful trip to Italy, my friend. I'm happy we're Facebook friends, and I could see you throughout Rome and the coast and enjoying Italy. Tell everyone why they need to get to Italy this summer.
Italy, it's good to be with you, JT. And yeah, there's more photos to come. I still have a phone full of shots from. I was mostly in the Tuscan province. Mm-hmm. I have a cousin who lives in Tuscany in a small town called Massarossa, where my family on my mom's side is originally from. So that's why I was there. Italy is a trip to another dimension, folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like almost going to another planet to me. It seems kind of obvious to say, but the culture there is so beautiful and so entrenched that it is uniformly powerful wherever you go to be able to stand in an area that was built in the 1600s or 1700s. You know, I was like I was in Lucca on the wall of Lucca, going through the gates of Lucca that were finished in, you know, the mid 1600s. It's a very powerful thing, or to walk into the Colosseum, you know, for example. Sure. It's just staggering, and to be there, and then to compare it to a place like Las Vegas, I was struck by the fact that, you know, how young our city really is, our country is, and especially Las Vegas. Our culture is very comparatively new, obviously, and I was just affected by that, you know, and it's a wonderful place. Anybody that has a chance to get there, because it is remarkable. You know, I'm going to go back. I have a family member who lives there. I'm going to go back as soon as I can.
Yeah, I've been there twice, and I think it's just one of the most magical places in the world. You just saw Lady Gaga last night. Brian Newman, tell us about that. Gaga in Vegas is always massive.
Yeah, it's center of the universe stuff. You know how that scene is. Mm-hmm. It's a late night, but a great night with Lady Gaga and the Brian Newman After Dark doubleheader. That's what I call it, the twin bill. And I rolled in there last night and caught her reopening of Jazz and Piano at Dolby Live, which is a wonderful trip through. And, you know, speaking of portals, you know, it's her adaptation and interpretation of a lot of jazz classics and standards and her own songs recharted, you know, to fit the tenor and to fit the genre. Sold out show. People were up and out and into it. She was on fire. The band kills. I always say, watch that orchestra if you get to the Lady Gaga show, because that horn section is Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns of Las Vegas. And there's a couple of other players who were in the orchestra who are Vegas players. And then afterward, you go over to the Nomad Library and you watch Brian Newman and his band. And, you know, you roll out of there at 3 in the morning, you know.
Ooh,
and,
3 a.m.
Get up again. Yeah, it's very Rat Pack in there. But one of the great, and I think not only one of the most entertaining residencies, but one of the most important Jazz and Piano, because it does shine a light on pure musicianship, the history of Las Vegas, the history of jazz generally, and she owns it. Gaga really feels this. She's very passionate about it. And to see a superstar at her peak in that context is pretty special.
Johnny Katz is our guest. He also had an exclusive interview with Bruno Mars, who also plays in the same theater. What's going on with him? What's his schedule look like?
Yeah, he'll be back in August, first of all. I talked to him. I got to know him at the Pinky Ring over at Bellagio, his club that he's partners with at the with MGM Resorts International. And literally just he came up and we started talking, you know, and I've covered him for years and he was aware of my coverage. And he was one of those things like, whatever you need, man, you can, you know, whatever. And I said, I want an interview. a fizzy water's nice, but I would love to have an interview, okay? And he said, all right, we'll do it. So we, you know, knocked our heads together over the next several weeks and connected on last Saturday before his show. He's a very special performer, obviously. Very talented man. He's all about Las Vegas. Bruno Mars is a good time guy. He is a serious artist. 15-time Grammy Award winner, talked about wanting to sing with Gaga, talked about wanting to reunite Silk Sonic with Anderson .Paak, going to reshape his show at some point. We talked a lot about the phones thing that he does. He locks up the phones in his show. That we touched on. He was not willing to entertain questions about the reports of his relationship with MGM Resorts International. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing people have been asking about. Sure. He did give me a response that is pretty, I'll just let people read it. He gave me a response about why he doesn't want to talk about it. But that's where we are.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think this is going to come out either Sunday or in Neon Magazine a week from Friday. We're still working it out.
Right. Look,
a little bit of it in today's paper.
Good. Look forward to that. I saw Dead & Company, and I was on the floor at GA. I like the GA better than the seats. I've been in the suite. I like being on the floor because I like seeing the band up close. And, yeah, I got to crank my neck back to look at some of the videos. I get that, but I like it there. I thought the Dead put more money, and they were much more elaborate than U2 with their graphics and their movies and videos. How'd you see it?
Yeah, I think when you make that comparison, you're absolutely right. I haven't seen a show on the floor yet at the Sphere. That's the one place I haven't been, but I've been close, you know, close to it in that 100 section, lower. I agree with that comparison because if you remember, U2 took all the tech down for about a 20-minute stretch, five or six song stretch in their show, you know, on purpose so they could slot in and do a music number. So that right there shows that there's, you know, they were, you know, going to erase some of the technology for a while so they could just play. And I do think that the video probably is more adventurous in the Dead & Company show. They've changed it up. It's throughout the shows, I understand. I loved that show, and I loved watching Bob Weir and Mickey Hart in action, and I especially gained an appreciation for John Mayer in the show that I saw, because you know, you forget what a force he is musically, and he has really added a dimension to that to the Dead image and heritage, and that the band currently. It would be a lot different experience without John Mayer, you know, I feel.
Okay.
And he had a lot to do with what we see on the screens, too. I know that he was very involved in the video content. A lot of his ideas.
Okay, and the last one I wanted to get in here is the Eagles tickets look very, very, very pricey. I mean, extraordinary pricey. I get it. U2 is expensive, Dead & Company, Fish, Fish was kind of impossible. The Fish fans either got four nights or no nights. You know how they are. They're all in. But the Eagles, yeah. The Eagles are interesting to me. I've seen the Eagles many times at the MGM Grand and really liked it.
Yes.
And I'm going to make sure I'm going here. But they have a real good connection with the Dolan Group, the Sphere. I was always planning on them being announced by now. How big of a signing is that for the Sphere?
It's big. You're right about the MSG relationship. And anybody who has a relationship with the Madison Square Garden Entertainment and Jim Dolan is in play for the Sphere. And Irving Azoff's company, they're in play. If you've sold out Madison Square Garden multiple times, you know, I'm looking at you, Billy Joel, and Harry Styles. You are qualified to play the Sphere. The Eagles tickets are interesting. The market will bear it out. You know, they just extended the residency. And so they're getting, you know, what they want to out of it. It'll probably recalibrate and those prices might be adjusted. But the key thing to me about the Eagles tickets, what's really interesting is they're going with all-in pricing. Dead & Company did this too, all-in. So you don't hit the site and they're hit with a bunch of fees unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. That the 175 base that they announced is the price. You're not going to go in and say, okay, it's 175, and then you go to checkout and it's 280. You know, so that's important to fans. That's the one complaint I get a lot. You know, the pricing is going to be a problem if you can't afford it anyway. But don't, if you're going to give me an expensive ticket, give me that price coming in. Don't spring it on me when I'm going to go check out. And the Eagles are doing that. Dead & Company's doing that. And I think that's going to be industry wide before too long to eliminate at least the fee at the end of the checkout. You know, they'll probably still allot the money according to fees for the venues, but you'll get, if it says 200, you're going to pay 200. In other words,
thank you, my friend. Good to talk to you. I mean, you came off Italy and you went rocking and rolling with Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, Dead & Company. You never sleep.
The night I came back from Italy, I went to the Italian American Club.
That is a great chicken parm there. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
All right, JT, take care.
Johnny Katz, John Katzalamidis, Las Vegas Review Journal. So the takeaway for me on that is simply this. You got to have money in Vegas to go to concerts. If you want to go see the best concerts in the world, you have to go to the Sphere. And it's going to cost you money. And even me, the king of the hookup, I got no hookup, man. I don't even know who has hookups there. There's always someone's got a hookup everywhere, right? Someone's got a hookup. But that one's a tough one. The DeCastaverde Law Group, they'll hook you up if you need them. If you need them, call them. Alex and Orlando DeCastaverde, their law group, one of the premier law groups in town. 702-222-9999. Give them a call if you need them.
To Plum, to Asia, draws a double team. Asia going strong to the glass. 84-64, and Asia got there. 21 points. Keeps the streak alive.
Aces Radio, our buddy T.C. Martin. JT back with you as we wrap it up here. Cool that Pete Rose called in on Willie Mays, Johnny Katz on entertainment, and my buddy Albert Hall joins us, the president of Hall Pass Media, the co-founder of NBA Summer League, and I feel like I am a full-time, I love being an NBA Summer League salesman, Albert. I love your product. I love your event. I'm one of the pioneers of promoting it, and you're back again. How are you?
I'm good, brother. We love it when you promote that. You know, you are a founding member of our fan club, so thank you for that. And excited, man. Pete Rose, I would have I never guessed that I'd follow up a Pete Rose interview.
It was nice that he checked in on Willie Mays. You know, we just lost Jerry West, and maybe it's a good time for me to ask you, with your deep background in the NBA, everybody had either a Bill Walton or a Jerry West combination story. Give me maybe one of each of those legends who just passed.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, their fabric throughout the NBA was unprecedented. And I mean, each two different characters completely. But Jerry was, as we called him, you know, the soul of Summer League. My partner Warren Legarry and Jerry West had a really deep relationship over the years, from him as a player agent years ago, and just really good connected friends. And that was a tough loss. You know, Jerry was supportive of us from day one. He spoke at our sports business classroom every year, and really just he kept it real with the students. He kept it to, you know, the trials, tribulations that he'd gone through. But I mean, I remember Funny story, Jerry West, we were sitting there one time, and Johnny Chan, the poker player, was in our hospitality room, and Jerry West looks over, is that Johnny Chan? I really want to meet that guy. So, I mean, he was all over, you know, he had a lot of different interests, but a huge basketball icon, you know, one of the founding fathers of really the modern NBA. And then, you know, Bill Walton was always around, always a spirited soul and just somebody who kept it fun, kept it light. Really, you could tell that he was all about helping young people get involved in sports or just the beauty of sport, however it was. And, you know, those two guys are our guys that we'll miss this year. And we're going to honor both of them at some point throughout Summer League.
Excellent. Love the fact that you're going to do that, and I figured you probably would. Albert Hall joins us. Let me ask you now, as you're putting in the planning, all the planning that goes, you know, with an event this big, there's volunteers, there's NBA staff, there's your staff, there's just a lot of people, and especially the advertisers and partners to pull this off. What type of work does that entail? And it never ends. There's late nights for you, but it all comes together. It feels like a well-oiled machine every year.
Yeah, hey, what they don't see won't hurt them. But yeah, we definitely have an army of folks participating, helping out. You know, people, our intern program is 130 deep, and the NBA brings an entire group of folks handling all the different business that goes on around Summer League. Has become really must-attend programming for people in this business. And you know, for us, it's, you can't overlook any detail, you know, whether it's Adam Silver's press conference that's obviously on super heightened alert to, you know, things we're doing in the concourse or programming, awarding something on the court with our community relations. It just takes everybody to pitch in, communicate. And, you know, from day one, the city of Las Vegas has been extremely supportive. And so when we do get out in the community and bring people in, you know, they all know and they understand that there's not only just the city of Las Vegas, but the NBA, the international basketball community. You know, and honoring this year, we're bringing back some of the old time coaches that are still around to really honor them. So each year it's something different, but it takes an army, and we're educating ourselves and the young people that are involved at all times.
Albert Hall, Hall Pass Media, co-founder of NBA Summer League. So what should everybody be doing now if they didn't get tickets yet? They're planning ahead. They're looking at specific individual dates. If they're going to want to go to multiple dates, what are you seeing as you look at your computer on availability and when this can get rolling so moms and dads can plan their summer with their kids?
Yeah, look, we have fans that jump on right away. They're ride or die. So they're coming out. They have purchased their season ticket or their opening weekend ticket, which will sell out. So we recommend you do that and go to NBAEvents.com or UNLVTickets.com. But really, JT, what this year is a little unique with this draft. There is no consensus number one. There is no lock of the top three. But you can guarantee that we're going to give you a star-studded opening weekend. This draft is very, I think it's pretty good. I think there's a lot of guys that are going to surprise. Obviously, the schedule is predicated on, you know, the young man in Los Angeles, Bronny, who a lot of people want to see. And personally, I think he's a pretty good player. I think he's going to surprise some folks. So, you know, we plan on announcing next week after the draft. We're excited for the draft. The draft is a two-day draft this year, the 26th and 27th. And then fans can expect to know when teams play on the 28th, 29th. And, you know, jump in line, get those tickets for those marquee games. Again, go to UNLVTickets.com, NBAEvents.com, or call 702-739-FANS.
My buddy Bobby, who picked up the phone and runs the show, been with me over 25 years. He's a Celtic fan. Last one, this team surpassing the Lakers 18-17. I didn't think this was an all-time Celtic team, but the stats say they are. I mean, the way they powered through everybody. I didn't think it was the most difficult stretch that they had to have. You know, no Giannis healthy. Knicks were banged up. Pacers with Halliburton out at the end. And, you know, Luka was banged up also. But they beat the teams they were supposed to beat in really dominant fashion.
And it played out that way, really, JT. I mean, they've been the number one team all year long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have been just, they've been in the mix from the day one of the 24 season. You know, they've been that team that says, hey, we could be better than everyone. And I think they just played it out. They don't control who they play, right? Mm-hmm. So they handled the opponent with, I'm not going to say ease, but they dominated. And You know, Dallas had a hell of a run, no doubt about it. They should be happy. I think their future's bright. They've done some really nice things over there personnel-wise. That move in the middle of the season was massive. And now you fast forward to what Boston has, having these guys under contract, you know, the showing that Tatum and Brown can work together. Just a lot of good intrigue. And then, you know, you start seeing a team like the Knicks who, if they were healthy, mm-hmm. I think they would have given Boston a really good series. I really do. And now they have, you know, cap room. They've got two first-round picks. So you could expect those positions now, but I think what it's done is it's given people, okay, here's the barometer this year going into it, which every year you got to reset based on, you know, what Denver did a year ago. They went and got Porzingis, right? They needed some bigger bodies just in case, you know, that matchup transpired. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of moves. Got to give Boston their credit. Give Dallas a heck of a job.
Thanks, my friend. Look forward to seeing you a bunch coming up here. Always appreciate you coming on.
All right. Remember, draft next week. Tune in.
You got it.
Go Raiders.
You got it. There he is, Albert Hall, Hall Pass Media. Does a big amount of business here in town with what they do here for NBA Summer League. That is a big movable object that rotates around this town with casinos, hotels, parties, games, celebrities. And as he said, no joke, I mean, I'm one of the founding fathers of promoting it. I was on when people weren't even in town. We were talking about this and promoting it, and people were like, what is he talking about? The NBA playing in Vegas, NBA Summer League. And it turned out to be a monster. And that was a slow grow, Bobby, because remember, it started, it took time to build. And then I think it was last year or the year before. It was Wembanyama and then the Zion. And I'm like, you know, you call up your buddies, hey, man, I got a couple tickets. The radio station's giving away tickets. And then overnight it was no tickets. Like, you can't get in. I don't care who you know. It was a tough ticket, so I'm employing everyone to get them now. So at least you'll have six tickets in your hand, so you know you're going to be able to go a few nights.
Well, you got to remember, you and I go back to the days when they only had that in the Cox Pavilion.
Yeah.
Now they have it in the Thomas and Mack and the Cox Pavilion, back and forth games.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of celebrities come to town, man. On that Gucci Row. Vinny Bonsignor is coming up next. Vinny's in for Q. Q's on a little vacay. Vinny will be here with a good show, as I always know he will. I'm happy with this show today. Pete Rose made it by calling in. He lived up to it, the all-time hit king. Doesn't let me down, man. He's getting up there in age, and he's still out there, and he thought enough to call in. And Johnny Katz with Entertainment and Albert Hall. And we gave you, I thought, a lot of Raider content today. We'll wrap up the week tomorrow. Tonight I'll be on Mad Dog Sports Radio 4 to 7 p.m. That's SiriusXM Channel 82, more of a national show. And hey, European Championship in soccer is big. Yankees getting destroyed 7-0 in the Bronx. Otani, Mookie Betts is out. Baseball's getting unique. And tonight we have the throwback, the Negro League game, where they're going to have, I think, a tremendous turnout in Birmingham, where Willie May has got to start as a professional baseball player in the Negro League, and they're going to pay tributes to him. I think this is going to be must-see television, playing an MLB game in this stadium tonight in Alabama. Great idea by Major League Baseball. And then, Bobby, it's still the Oilers and the Florida Panthers. Could the Panthers choke a 3-0 lead? Could they do it? I say no. But if Edmonton ties this up at 3, it's going to get good.
I got to tell you, I got a funny feeling they are going to choke this thing away because Edmonton is getting their legs now.
Edmonton is getting their legs, and they got the best player in the world, and he's starting to wake up. So that game is going to be Friday. So that's game. They play Tuesday, and they're going to play Friday. The travel is long from Sunrise, Florida, to get to Edmonton. Good luck with that flight. I'm going to Canada. I'm going to see the Rolling Stones on July 5th. So wife and I are going to head out to Vancouver and rock out with Mick and Keith and do the Stones, our international trip this year. So we're pumped up about that. Jess, thank you for sitting in today. Bobby, great job. All of our YouTubers, all my new friends on YouTube. Never thought I'd be a streamer on YouTube. I don't even know how to turn on a video game. But now I got a YouTube channel, JT the Brick YT. Vinny's on deck. And I will see you tonight. You're following us on satellite radio, and if not, we'll wrap up our week tomorrow. So enjoy it, everybody. Have a great day. Vinny Bonsignor is now, and I'll catch you back here tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.